A couple of other things that occurred to me there as Dale was finishing the prayer. We need to keep little Emmett in our prayers. He's still in the hospital. They had the open heart surgery. And then also, Brother George has been working a lot this past week and wasn't feeling well this morning. So if we could pray for George, keep him in your prayers as well. What's that? Oh, yes, and Roxanne too, please. Yeah, definitely keep praying for Roxanne. She'd be able to continue her treatments and continue to heal. A few announcements this morning, and not sure what I got for slides, but dumpster day. So, yeah, can hear the enthusiasm from over here. So next Saturday, we said from 10 to 1, it's just kind of a guess, but we're going to have a roll-off dumpster delivered here, and we're going to have the opportunity for guys who like to lift heavy stuff, carry them upstairs and chuck them into a dumpster. This is your day. So come and help with that. We've got some things in the basement. Man, there's so much work recently. It's been wonderful. Thank you for Chris and George and the other guys working on that. But the basement, we're remodeling and getting it better. But there's just stuff that needs to go. So we're going to get that dumpster here and try to fill that up. And that is next Saturday. And this is for adults. I mean, there's boards with nails in them. There's big, heavy, there's things that kids could get hurt on. So we do want that to be teens and adults for that, not little ones that might get hurt. But also, go ahead and Christmas decorating. So, yeah, you can see the joy. my wife loves to decorate. So that's next Saturday. And if you are, I mean next Sunday, I'm sorry. Next Sunday after the service. Yes, that's not, hopefully. There might be a little going in the dumpster. We'll see. We have a lot of that. But be here for that. It's a great time every year. And this is for all ages. We love to have the kids pitch in, and they do their thing. And
even if you can't walk around, we can stick bows, and you can fluff bows.
You can fluff. Yeah, we need bow fluffers. So that's, maybe that's you. So it's going to be a great time. But come for that, and we just transform this property. It's just really beautiful. So just a great time to together. Be here for that. Any other things we need to announce with that or anything we need? No. Okay. And we'll provide pizza for that. So with that in mind, the next slide, we're going to be starting our Christmas Advent series with our sermons next week. And so I have just a brief video I wanted to share with that. I think it's next. Along with our Advent sermon messages, we also have a very special Christmas Eve service. And so, Chrissy, do you want to speak to that about the kids working on the song? And
The kids are downstairs learning the song that they did last year again. We had a lot of phases. So they just walked through the final verse of all of that. So now every week from now until Christmas Eve, we'll be practicing the entire song. And then we'll be
okay. Yeah, if you have not been part of our Christmas Eve service, it is beautiful. It is so, so wonderful. It's called Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols. The lessons, it means reading, scripture readings. Who has participated in that or been here for that? So, and a lot of hands are not up that haven't got to see that before. And it's so, so wonderful, so memorable. Just beautiful. It's only about an hour long, but it's just so full of gorgeous scripture, pointing to Christ and his arrival, and then sharing in song our delight and joy, and really showing through the context of the whole of scripture, the coming of the Messiah and what we have in that. And so I do encourage you, do not miss it. It is a wonderful time on Christmas Eve. I think we're saying 5 to 6. That's what we did last year, and I think that's what we're going to do this year. So anyway, just want to put that out there. Other than that, God's Grocery will be open after the service. We have new items. We have hats and gloves for winter, if you need hats and gloves. Those are in there. We have stick butter now in the fridge. We have school supplies. We have some extra other things. So check that out. Any other announcements this morning before we get in the Word? Forgetting anything? So, okay. Well, if you would, let's join me in prayer, and then we'll open up the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the wondrous miracle of Emmanuel, of God with us. Lord, we thank you for sending your Son, and thank you that every moment of every day in our lives, that is a truth we're celebrating. God, we thank you that during this service, through your word, Lord, that your Spirit can show us more of Jesus. And that's our desire, Lord, to know him more, to worship him more, to love Christ more. God, you're so awesome. Captivate our attention. Captivate our hearts and our minds. God, we pray for the miracle of your word being spoken, proclaimed in the power of your Spirit. We pray for the miracle of your word being received in the power of your Spirit this morning, that we would understand and be transformed by the word of God today. We ask it for the glory of Christ, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you would turn your Bibles, please, to John chapter 4. As we get started, we're going to look at a very familiar story to many of us, John chapter 4. You know, as you're turning there, our God is truly an awesome, miracle-working God. You know, in the prayer earlier, Dale mentioned, you know, we can pray in faith, and God does miraculous things today in people's lives. He's saving people. He's transforming people. He's freeing people from addiction and sin. God is redeeming marriages. I mean, he is such an awesome, awesome God, revealing Christ to those who have been enemies. I mean, he's just so amazing. And he's faithful. He is good. He's trustworthy. You know, God, he loves you. And I think God is involved in all the detail of our lives, and he wants to reveal Christ to us more and more, and he wants to come into our hurts and shame and darkness and guilt and show the beauty of Christ and transform things. And I just want to say that no matter what your life has been, no matter what things you have done in the past that you're ashamed of, no matter what things that you would never want to talk to anybody about, maybe that you feel guilt or remorse for, no matter what those things are, God loves you.
Amen.
He loves you. He is not distant from you because of that. And no matter what you're dealing with today, what struggles, maybe you've got doubts or unbelief or questions, things that you're struggling with in faith. And no matter where you are in your walk with Christ, I can tell you right now, he loves you. He loves you right where you are. You know, maybe you're here today and you were hearing what Dale was saying about the return of Christ, and you were thinking, that sounds great, but I don't know that I'm all in believing for a hopeful future for me. You know, wherever you are with that, looking at your future, and you've got doubts about yourself and where you're going to go even, I want to tell you that no matter how your future looks to you, Jesus Christ loves you today. He absolutely loves you. Now, I want to share with you, just as a brother in Christ, you know, I could say as a pastor, but I think just as your brother in Christ, that I deal with anxiety just like you do. Sometimes. You know, I deal with fears. I deal with sometimes deep, deep regrets and remorse over things in my life sometimes. I deal with hurts, relational hurts that just break me and bring me to tears sometimes, just like you do. You know, I long for good things in my life, sometimes that I don't see, where I just feel defeated spiritually, just like you guys do. And I want to tell you that because I love you, because I love me, I wish so deeply that today, right now, that Jesus would deal with all of that. I wish that today that Jesus would take every deep thing that just drives you to your knees in tears, and that he would heal and cleanse and restore and perfect and do every wondrous work in the midst of your sorrow. And I wish so much he would do that today, that he would overturn every defeat. Can he do it? He can. You know, he could answer every question you have. He could deal with every doubt that you have. He could resolve every problem that you have. But the reality is, he would have to take you out of this world to do it. Because we live in a broken, fallen world. And there is a day coming. We have a promise in the Word of God. He is coming back. Jesus is coming back, and there is coming a day when he will do all those wonderful things. And we will know him as we are known, and what a day that's going to be. Every tear wiped away. You talk about, man, Dale mentioned that smile. You're not going to be able to stop smiling, and neither am I. What a day of rejoicing. I am so excited for that day. That glorious hope and that wonder, and it's going to be so good. So, so good. But that's not in this moment yet. It could be any time. But as long as we're still in this world, we are going to deal with this. We're going to deal with our humanity. We're going to deal with everybody else's mess. And it's just a messy, messy world. Let's look here at John 4, starting in verse 1. Jesus speaking with a Samaritan woman. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea, and he went once more to Galilee. Now he had to, in the Greek it says it was necessary, he had to go through Samaria. It was necessary for him to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to drink water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Back in those days, most Jews, if a Samaritan even handed them a cup, they wouldn't drink from that cup. They would consider that unclean. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." He would have given you living water. I want to pause there for just a moment and recognize something about Jesus. Jesus is intentional to connect with people right where they are. He connects with people right where they are. This woman doesn't know Jesus from her brother-in-law. She has no idea who she's speaking to. All she knows is she's at the well getting water. She's probably thirsty. And Jesus brings up living water. You know, I look at the scriptures and I see time and time again, like with Nicodemus. I think Nicodemus, as a teacher of the law, as a Pharisee, was probably an older man. Jesus spoke to Nicodemus about being born again. To this man in his old age, to a blind man, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." To Martha and Mary, grieving their dead brother, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus connects with people. He's got a lot to say to about himself, but he connects with people exactly where they are. To fishermen, he said, "I'm the one who's going to make you fishers of men." Jesus connects with people. He's intentional to connect with people right where they are. So he's connecting with this woman at the well. "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. How can you get this living water?" Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Whoever drinks the water I will give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so I don't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. She doesn't understand. He told her, Go, call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands. The man you're now with is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place of worship is in Jerusalem. It's easy to skim over this. I want to pause here for a moment. It's easy to think this woman's just asking some doctrine questions about worship. And that's possible. You know, maybe she's really wondering about that. You know what I do sometimes when I'm really hurting? And somebody wants to talk to me, and I really don't want to talk about where I am and the hurt that I'm feeling. Let's talk about something else.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the weather. Let's talk about doctrine. You know, it comes out another way. Sometimes when people are hurting, or they're sad, or they're angry, or whatever, it just comes out in some other way. And so she asked these questions about worship. Woman, Jesus replied, Believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. God is spirit. And his worshipers must worship him in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. It doesn't say how she knows this, but she knows this. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he.
Yes.
This is the first of Jesus' I am statements here. In the Greek, the he is not there actually. It's just I am. Jesus is saying, I am the Messiah.
Yeah.
But he's also saying, I am the living God. I am. So what do we know about this woman? She's living in a society where just because of her gender, she is marginalized. In that culture, in that day with Samaritans and Jews, if a man is walking down the street, especially a rabbi, which she takes Jesus for, they're walking down the street, they wouldn't even speak in broad daylight to a woman usually, not in public. Even their wife, they would just walk on, wouldn't take the time to talk to her. She lives in a culture where, as a Samaritan, Jews did not think highly of Samaritans. So to have a Jew speaking to her, there's a racial bias there between them. She's also not married. And in that culture, she would have been thought very shamefully of because she's not married and living with a guy. And her whole life, really, if you look at the five divorces, I mean, her life is a life of humiliation, a life of brokenness, a life that screams, I'm the least, I'm the lowest. I mean, I can just... You guys probably have times, I have times, when you just don't feel worth a lot for whatever reason. And this woman had like every reason to just think that when the Messiah comes, he's not going to have anything to do with her. So here's Jesus. And he's gone out of his way. He didn't have to go there. From Judea to Galilee, he could have gone to the east. He didn't have to go through Samaria geographically, but he chose to. He chose to meet with this woman, to have a conversation with this woman. He was intentional. This is the longest recorded conversation in the book of John with anyone that Jesus has, with this woman of all people. And he knows everything about her. He knows the obvious things. He knows, obviously, she's a woman. He knows that she's there in the daytime, in the noonday, when the other women aren't there because she's ashamed of something. He knows that she's a Samaritan. He knows, but he knows beyond the obvious. He knows that she is full of sin and pain and regret and grief. So what does this tell us about God? What do we do with that? Go ahead, brother.
He knows us. He knows that our every hurt, our every...
Amen. Everything that we would hide from ourselves and from everyone else, Jesus knows it. And he still comes to meet with her in the midst of that.
Thank you, Lord.
In the midst of all her failures, in the midst of every sin and failing in her life, in the midst of her own probably overwhelming self-condemnation that she has, Jesus enters into that because his grace is greater. His grace is greater than all of our sin. His grace is greater than your sin. And this woman at the well, she lays hold of that. In those moments when she begins to understand that Jesus is the Messiah, what has changed in her life? Not apart from Jesus here. I mean, what's changed about her past? Nothing. Nothing. What's changed in her present, in her living situation? Nothing. What's changed in her prospects of the future? Nothing. Nothing has changed. What's changed in anybody else's opinion of her? Nothing. But Jesus has entered into it. Jesus is there. In that moment, she didn't understand much of anything about who Jesus is. And yet, just the presence of Jesus, there's a whole new reality that she can anchor herself to, that no matter how messed up and ashamed she is, that in this moment she realizes the Messiah knows me.
Yes.
And has taken time to come here and to speak to me. He cares for me.
Yes.
And she doesn't know a whole lot more than that, and she runs away from the conversation rejoicing.
Yeah.
That's all. She has no clue. Other than the Messiah loves me and he's got the grace to come here and speak with me. Isn't that awesome? Jesus has the grace to meet you right where you are. And I want to say to my brothers and sisters, this not only goes for folks who are not saved yet, this goes for us saved folks too. Because there's a whole lot of days when I know that I am not walking a worthy enough walk and that I am not doing him justice for my salvation, or I'm not who I wish I was in Christ. And I feel like as soon as I get these things corrected, Jesus, I can hang out with you. He's like, I'm going to meet you right where you are. What are you talking about? We compartmentalize. You know, I'm really happy to hang out with Jesus when I've just listened to my Charles Stanley devotional. I'm inviting Jesus into all kinds of stuff in my life, you know, then. Or that moment after that wonderful few songs of worship, you know, I'm inviting Jesus into all kinds of things then when I feel like my life looks pretty. But the great news is, I mean, if you look at this woman's life, as messy and broken as it is, you don't have to get to some place where you're acceptable to Jesus to invite him into all the mess of your life. He's already accepted you.
Yeah.
He knows. He knows everything. And the point is about not really what he knows or doesn't know about you or what you think of you. The point is he wants you to know him. That's why he wants to hang out with you at all times, no matter what your day's like, no matter... I think every day of our lives, Jesus is saying... I think he's saying to me, anyway, in some sense, in my spirit, this last week, I know you're a sinner. And you know you're a sinner. And I know I'm the Savior. And you know I'm your Savior. Let's go forward together from there. I mean, that's every day. That's every day. And we get this kind of illusion in our minds that we somehow just have to make ourselves acceptable, to jump through enough hoops somehow, to be churchy enough or to be smart enough or whatever, that we just... And Jesus' point is, listen, no matter where you are today, he's like, I want to help you know me more. That's kind of the point.
Yeah.
It's not about you. It's not about where you are. Every day, I want you to just invite me in so I can show you more of who I am. He just wants us to know him more clearly. Jesus knows what you need. He knows what you need. This woman, she wanted to take a detour in the conversation and talk about denominational distinctions. She's like, I need some answers. I need understanding. You guys ever do that with Jesus? Well, Jesus, there's understanding I don't have. There's answers I need. Sometimes it's just I've got things going on in me of brokenness and fear and whatever that I don't want to talk to Jesus about, so let's talk about something else. But he knows what you need. You know, in that moment, that woman said, let's talk about water. Let's talk about having a drink.
Yeah.
Or let's talk about what's good in culture and what's not. I mean, why are you speaking to me? I'm a Samaritan, you're a Jew. Let's talk about beliefs. You worship there, we worship here. Jesus, let's talk about anything. But I don't really want to talk about my mess. But what we really need to know is that in our sin and in our shame and in our gloom, and whether we realize it or not, what I need to know more than anything is who Jesus is. That's what I need to know. I need to know him more. And I'd like to know what he has to offer. You know, I need to know. I want to know what he's going to do with my sin. You know, I need to know what he can do in my life. I need to know about his acceptance of me. I need to know about trusting in him. I need to know about the grace that he has for me. But Jesus is God's grace for me. Jesus is God's grace for you. And more than anything, that's what you need to know. And so here's this lady at a well. She's speaking to the eternal Almighty God, and he is offering her eternal life. He's offering her relationship with him. Why didn't Jesus fix everything for her right then? Why didn't he have a conversation about everything in her past, about her present, about her future? Because what she needed most in that moment wasn't for him to fix everything. She just needed, in the midst of all of that, to know Jesus has entered into this. God has come, and he's with me in the midst of all the tears and all the shame and everything I'm dealing with, and he loves me right where I am. And that's the hope that we have every day. I have things in my life. You know, you guys, especially if you're a parent or a grandparent, or you know, you've got people that you love so deeply and so dearly in your life, and you see the choices they're making, and you understand where it goes and what's coming, and it breaks your heart. And you want Jesus to fix their situation. You want Jesus to fix their choices, but what they really just need is to know who Jesus is in the midst of it, that they can invite him in and just spend time with him in the midst of all the darkness, that they can invite the light of the world to come into it and just be who he is. It's Jesus' presence that brings hope into your life. It is Jesus' presence that brings hope into your life, even if whether anything's fixed in the moment or not. There's coming a day when he will. There's coming a day when he's going to right every wrong, where all that sin's going to be gone forever. But when I first became a believer, one of my first Christian-themed shirts I had that I liked a lot, it was a white T-shirt, and it had this huge brown cross on it, like a cartoony-looking cross. It was really cool. And it had these, in this giant bold print, it says, "This changes everything." And that's true. It does change everything. Sort of. There's a change coming. You know, there's a change that begins in us when we receive the grace of God in Jesus Christ, when we trust in who he is and what he did on the cross. There is a change that begins in us. But there is a time coming of restoration There's a time coming of purifying. There's just like with the kingdom. The kingdom has come into this world, but it's not come in fullness yet. But it will. Jesus is coming back to rule and to reign. And he's begun this work in us, but there's still heartache. And there's still struggle. But something new has come into the midst of it. Just like with that woman at the well. Her life is what it is. But now there's a hope that's come into her life now that wasn't there before. She begins this conversation with Jesus. She realizes he's a Jew. She can tell probably from dialect he's a Jew. She asks him questions, gets some answers she really doesn't understand, begins to experience his goodness, maybe begins to recognize maybe he is greater than Jacob. Maybe this is somebody really special, and she keeps asking questions. He's a prophet. Light bulb comes on. Okay, he's a prophet. She keeps asking questions. Who is this guy? And then she comes to this place of grace and understands he's the Messiah. He's the Christ. And she believed just a simple truth. Jesus is who he says he is. Jesus is the Messiah. And she just believed that simple little truth and rejoiced. Ran away rejoicing. Couldn't even contain it. She's so overflowing. She's got to run into town and tell people, right? She's got to tell somebody. This is just bursting out of her. The simple, basic, bottom line truth about Jesus. So here's the bottom line for us today. No matter what your past is, no matter what your present is, who you are right now, what you think of you, no matter what your prospects for the future may or may not be, Jesus has come. Jesus has come. And he wants more than anything for you to know him. I think that's part of the reason why to us it seems like he's delaying things. There's times I pray for things on my knees and I cry out to him and I pray and pray and I think, God, I know enough of your word to know this has got to be your will. And he may want to answer that, but what he really, really wants is he wants time with me. And he knows that as soon as he answers that, I'm probably going to chase some squirrel, some other topic, some other direction, you know, and run off on my own agenda. And he's like, okay, I got you where you want, where I want you, with me. And so there's times he's like, guys, this is the main thing. This is the big deal. He's mad about you. He loves you. And he's like, I just want you to spend time with me. I'll answer that when I answer it. I just want you to hang out with me. Dale's phone, that could be the Lord. I would just challenge you, just like God challenged me this week. Be like that woman at the well. And just accept the truth that Jesus has accepted you. She didn't have all the answers. She didn't know a lot, but she just knew enough to know that, you know what? The Son of God has come, and he loves me. And he wants me to know him, and that's worth rejoicing in. No matter anything else, that's reason to rejoice and then share that with somebody else, because that's the most powerful truth in the world, that God has come to redeem and to save, and he loves the unlovable like me. Share that with somebody. Share that joy with somebody. Please pray with me.